Good morning, Morro Bay. I'm going into our welcome mode. We are in tourism, so we like to say welcome to everyone. It's part of our hospitality mode. So welcome to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau board meeting scheduled. It's our regular meeting for Thursday, June 11th, 2015. We do have a little early start time here at 8 a.m. Would like to call the meeting to order at 7 minutes after. And at this point, we will open up for public comment. If there's anyone in the audience wishing to step forward, you can do so now. And you're not really public comment. You're kind of one of the gang now,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Sam Taylor, City of Morro Bay. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm the new Deputy City Manager, and part of my duties is economic development and partnering with the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau on tourism initiatives, and I'm very happy to be here. So thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to, being part of the gang. So thank you.
Well, we need to make room for you at the table. Are you going to be coming all the time?
Yes.
You will be?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you? You can.
Sure. Let's do that next meeting.
Okay.
I'd like
that's
to sit
fine.
Back here and see what the public sees.
Okay. Yeah. All right. This public that's out there.
Absolutely.
Right?
Thank you.
Well, welcome, and we appreciate you. Okay. Anyone have any questions for Sam or anything? No? Okay. And at this point, before we go to I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Hi, Nancy.
I'd like to do a public comment. I'm
sure.
Nancy Castle, part of the Historical Society, and I wanted to be sure and highlight that this Saturday there's going to be Family Fun Day at Tidelands Park, hosted by the Historical Society, and they're inviting everyone to bring down pictures, and if you don't have pictures, at least memories of past times in Morro Bay, particularly summer times. Actually, when I was little in the 50s, we had fog for weeks and weeks at a time. Several times there, you know, we noted 6 weeks we didn't see the sun. So that's a historical summertime fact. And they sold lots of jackets and sweatshirts, which I think they still do. So that's from 3 to 5, Tidelands Park. Memories, pictures, and a good time for all. So hope to see you there.
Thanks, Nancy, and thanks to the Historical Society for organizing that and putting it on. And your hair looks cute. Okay. So before we move on to welcoming new board members, I'd like to see if we can move one board announcement up above that, if that's okay with the group. I'd look for a motion to take a board announcement right now. I have an announcement from the city that I and a joint announcement from myself and the.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Very quickly with one announcement, I'd just like to clarify something. My family has sold the Pleasant Inn, and as you know, about a month and a half, January. So in January, I sold the Beach Bungalow Inn and Suites, and those were the two that my family owned. But we are in escrow on another hotel, and our escrow closes on the 30th coming up. It is an undisclosed hotel here in Morro Bay because the seller would like us not to disclose because they don't want to disrupt staff and disrupt themselves in a very busy time of year, graduation weekend. And so I did contact the city about that to make sure that it was okay, that I wasn't violating any code or rule or anything. And I do have a note here from a letter from David Buckingham. It says, "Hi, Joan, thanks for chatting on Friday. I was going to call but wanted you to have an official record of our communication. Bottom line, we believe you should chair the TBID meeting generally as you normally do. While you may be briefly between hotels, you certainly remain a hotelier, and we find no reason for you to recuse yourself this month. We do recommend that you, one, disclose up front at the meeting that you are briefly between hotels, and two, choose to abstain from any votes at this meeting, or you could vote with the majority on any votes. We recommend that you not be the deciding vote on any issue, and simply abstaining would be the cleanest approach to that." And that was from David Buckingham. I just want to make that clear to everyone. And if you want to see that, I can pass it, although I did spill coffee on it in the car. So I just wanted to disclose that to everyone. And if you have any questions for me other than which hotel it is, I'd be happy to answer that. And I'm not going to answer number of rooms or any of that because you guys can all narrow that down. So, any questions on that? No? Okay, great. Then moving on, we would like to welcome our new board members. We're on item number 3 already. Welcoming new board members, and we are thrilled to have 2 new board members here today. And I will, they're down here grouped together on the end, and Michelle is going to tutor them, I'm sure, by whispering to them the whole time. We have the hotels that they're working with are the Embarcadero Inn and the Inn at Morro Bay, and I will allow them to introduce themselves. We'll start down there on the end with Roger and then go to Fred.
My name is Roger Corwin. I am the general manager at the Embarcadero Inn. It's great to be on the board.
My name is Fred Reed, and I'm the general manager of the Inn of Morro Bay. Been in the hotel industry all my life, and it's great to be on the board and to help invest in this wonderful city. So,
thank you both for stepping forward. And do you know everyone on the board yet? Jack and
I'm Taylor Newton.
Michelle Hawkes, and I am GM Masterpiece Hotel, La Serena Inn, and the Best Western San Marcos Inn here in Morro Bay. And we are very happy to have hoteliers on this board. Yes. Not that I don't disrespect Jack and Taylor, but it's nice to get some hotel blood on here, so thanks.
I know. We need to mix the seating up. I totally noticed that. We're going to mix the seating up. We're not like that at all. We're not. No.
They started it.
You guys, you both wore black. I wore black, and now we're
bring it on.
Okay, so off we go. Thank you guys for stepping up and coming to join us. We are one of the hardest working boards. All the boards work hard. We're one of the hardest working boards, but we also, I think, we have the most fun. You know, hospitality is naturally fun. So,
I want to apologize for being late. It was out of my control, so I it won't happen again.
It's all the graduation weekend traffic. Okay. All right, so off we go. We're looking to the approval of number 4, welcome new board members and the new sales manager. I'm going to turn it over to Brent, actually, to introduce Aaron Young, who's our new sales manager, who I actually met briefly at the Inn at Morro Bay the other day. So.
Well, I'm going to let Aaron do his own introduction, but we actually went through quite a series of different interviews for sales manager. Aaron fit the bill when it came to group sales experience and some trade show experience, but I'll let Aaron do a little bit more of an introduction.
All right. Well, first off, it's a pleasure to be here and be on board with Morro Bay. My experience in tourism comes from humble beginnings, attending Morro Bay High School and working at the age of 15 at the Fishbowl down the Embarcadero. It was that time I kind of understood how important tourism was and got to see the slow period and the busy period, and so I know what that means to Morro Bay to bring commerce into the city. My professional experience, I went right in the military out of high school. I served in the United States Air Force. After that, I got out and went straight to work for Elegant Image here in Morro Bay, helping build that business. So I've gotten to see a business thrive in Morro Bay and in the tourism market. After that, I went on to work for Silverado Stages in San Luis Obispo, where I got to play in the tourism market all over California at a really large scale. So I know tour groups really well. I know bus groups really well. I know the benefit of bringing large groups into the city. When I was in Sacramento, I actually used to come stay in Morro Bay instead of San Luis, although my office is in San Luis, so I'm probably one of the biggest fans of Morro Bay, and this job's very fitting for me because I've been selling the city since I was 16. So I look forward to see what I can do and getting out and meeting everybody and increasing sales for everybody.
Terrific. Well, welcome. That sounds great. Since the bid started, and Michelle can, I think, attest to this, we've been itching to have an actual sales manager, and it's been a process, and we have finally arrived to that at about 5 years into this, and that is a direct benefit to the hoteliers. It's going to be, I think, terrific. You know, there's a lot of properties that can take buses, and the smaller properties will be impacted by that because it will limit inventory, and they will be the huge beneficiaries of packing the larger, you know, the Inn at Morro Bay and the group rooms into the Days Inn or the Comfort Inn. The Pleasant Inn and whatnot will feel really good about having everyone else have a bus because they'll be able to adjust their rates accordingly. Very quickly, we do have a new hotelier in town. His name is he's also an Aaron. He's Aaron Graves, and he and his family have purchased the Pleasant Inn, as I mentioned before. Super nice young guy, Cal Poly graduate, has an MBA. His wife has a bachelor's in hospitality management. So together, they're a long-standing family. He grew up out on Highway 41, attended San Luis Obispo High School, and is back in the area again, and has a new baby and a great family, and I just encourage you to get over there and introduce yourself to him. He is dynamite, and I'm hoping that, you know, maybe he'll come out and apply for that extra seat. Don't we have one more seat on our board? We have one more seat on our board. So, great. Let's get him settled, and then we'll ask him, right? So that is our introductions. And now we're looking to approve minutes. I'm hoping everybody had time to look at it. Okay?
I will make a motion to approve the Thursday, May 14th, 2015, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board Meeting Minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Opposed? None? Okay, unanimous. Now we're moving on to consent agenda. And usually, guys, we just take these, you know, all together unless somebody would like to pull something on the consent agenda. There's the closed session report, and there were no actionable items in the closed session. The banking account signature update, which you saw, we've moved forward with that. The allocation of the 2016-20 that for the Outdoor Writers Association of California conference. The request was to adjust the budget to be applied to hosting the 2016 conference at the Inn at Morro Bay, which is, as you know, a local hotel here, and 2015-16 Visitor Center contract update. It has expired, and we received a update and a letter showing, reflecting that the city would like to do month-to-month. So does anybody want to pull anything there?
I have a question. What the Visitor Center contract update, what are we approving on that? What are we consenting to on that?
The update is basically to the letter was in the packet.
Right.
The city moved to a month-to-month contract with us through September, which is how long we have the lease. It is a prorated
$6,250. I saw that.
$6,250 based on $50,000 annually, which is what they're using as the basis for funding for the Visitor Center. No.
They did actually a in-between, so it's not based off of $50,000, but it's actually based off of $75,000.
It's based off $75,000. Okay, $25,000 up to the end of our contract, and then a $50,000 RFP, which is up for discussion later.
Okay, so that's still up for discussion later. I just didn't see that on our agenda, so that's where I was confused. So I guess right now I would be comfortable with consenting A, B, C, but I would pull D because I
okay,
don't understand the process
on D. We'll pull D. We'll pull D and we'll go into
not that I want to take us here long. I just don't understand.
I understand. So we'll pull D and we'll look for a motion to approve A, B, and C.
So I will make a motion to consent agenda items for A, closed session report, B, the banking account, and C, allocation of funding for the Outdoor Writers Association.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Taylor. All in favor?
Discussion.
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. And now we'll look at D. So, Brent, can you give us a little update and bring us up to kind of snuff on this?
I certainly can.
A little bit better so that the public also understands.
Yes. So it was requested upon the board that we find out what the intentions of the city specific to funding for the visitor center with the remaining of the lease, because essentially the management contract that we have with the city goes until the end of June. So we're getting to the end of our specific contract. The lease is up on the building where the current visitor center is located, September 30th of this year. And so David Buckingham, city manager, had provided a letter to me to provide to you, essentially that it would be a month-to-month situation. They have gone out for RFP. And that's actually open to anybody, any business, any organization, as well as our organization, to submit a proposal before the end of June. But essentially, the letter states that the funding for the center will actually be reduced from $8,333 down to $6,250 per month to the end of our lease. So essentially, it provides us an opportunity to still have a funding source for the center. It does reduce some things, so we'll have to look at, you know, how that we're going to be reducing some of the costs, et cetera, these next 3 months. We have to be a little bit more strategic as far as some of the fixed costs. Obviously, the rent of the building is a fixed cost, but anything else, you know, if they happen to decide to move the center in July, you know, we'll still have to pay the lease until the end of September. So just want you to be aware. What I do like specific in the letter that Mr. Buckingham indicated that he appreciated the management, city appreciated the management that the Tourism Bureau has done for the Visitor Center. It is no reflection on going out for RFP, you know, based off of our management. They're just looking for some creative solutions, and the new RFP reflects a $50,000 cost to the city for somebody to help run it and manage it.
Questions for Brent? You were here for the previous visitor center discussion, so I'm going to go to Michelle. Questions?
So I have a question, because if I looked at the RFP, it looked like it was June 26th.
Correct.
So is this board, is this going to be up for discussion? Because we don't have another board meeting by the time it's due for RFP. So I guess that's my question is this board going to ever have the discussion of whether we are going out for RFP or are we not?
Going for that RFP, you mean?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That doesn't come up on our agendas prior to the due date is my
right.
question.
Unfortunately, we had the agenda already set and posted prior to actually receiving the RFP. So I am actually looking for some direction from the board whether or not that the Tourism Bureau wants to submit an RFP for this next year for the visitor center.
Right. So it's not really on the agenda, so we can't really discuss it due to the Brown Act. I guess what we could do here is if there's a consensus from the board that we may be interested in going out for the RFP, we could ask Brent to send a letter to the city asking for an extension. It was a very quick RFP. I mean, questions are due tomorrow, and our board meeting is today. There are other entities out there. I want to make this clear. If we're nesting inside of a current business, for example, if they want to nest the visitor center at the Best Western San Marcos inside of the lobby, let's pretend they wanted to. Michelle, let's pretend you wanted to nest the business there. If they want to nest that business, they could be in private conversations with their staff very quickly. But because we're a public entity and we're, I don't want to say restrained, but we're limited by the Brown Act. Yes, thank you. We are limited by our ability to assemble due to the Brown Act. We're not able to just, you know, quickly say, hey, everybody, can you meet in 45 minutes to discuss the visitor center? I mean, that's not how it works for us. So, you know, if Brent could send maybe a letter to the city asking them for an extension for us, that would allow us to query the board for a special meeting, find a place for that special meeting to occur, which will likely be the Tourism Bureau office, post an agenda, get in there, finally, after the agenda is posted for the right amount of time and legal posting limits, and get in there and actually discuss this. So I would recommend that we just ask him to send a note asking for an extension for us due to the limitations of the Brown Act and meet and confer.
My thought would be, though, is maybe we should even poll the board. What if there's no interest in the board to even RFP? Then it's a moot point.
Right, or the meeting is over in 15 minutes. It's just, I don't know. It's
I just,
agenda,
I would hate to request for an extension if we don't need it. I'm just saying.
Pardon?
I was saying that to do what Michelle's saying, we would need to discuss it. And since it's not on the agenda, we can't discuss it. So, mute point already, right?
We can discuss the letter that they sent, which in essence ends our contract in September, and then we can decide based off the letter that they sent whether we want to ask them if we could be considered to continue on with that contract, I guess. Sorry, you're going to get a lot of that.
Or we could just ask Brent to review the situation and re-let us know.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, we really are kind of talking about it.
Yeah, you got to. I think Brent's going to have to contact the city and ask for an extension so we can meet. And actually, or Sam, can you give us some advice? Come on up, Sam. You're going to be at the table here soon.
Yeah, thank you, Sam Taylor, Deputy City Manager, City of Morro Bay. So, the Brown Act obviously does preclude you from discussing items that are not on your agenda, but this item is on your agenda. You did place a consent agenda item specific to the visitor center on your agenda. Really recognizing, I would say, two things with that letter. One, that the current contract for the visitor center actually expired in 2013, and so that's kind of what this issue is. I think both sides are like, oh, turns out we don't have a contract. So we still recognizing the wonderful relationship with the Tourism Bureau to continue that service while we do the RFP. That's one aspect of this letter. The other aspect being the fact that we are out for RFP. So I would say that the two issues are connected, and I don't think that you are violating the Brown Act by discussing the RFP and whether or not you want to participate. And I think it would behoove you to actually do that today to make that determination to see if you would like your staff to actually, you know, file for that. Related to potential extensions, I obviously can't speak to whether or not we would do that now. But I am certainly willing to go speak with Mr. Buckingham about that issue. The extension would be for anyone that would be applying, not obviously just the Tourism Bureau, and you know, for fairness. But I can't commit to that now. But I will certainly look into it and let Brent know if you feel like you need to do that.
Great, thank you for the advice. Okay, let's break out the conversation and get this thing figured out. So I'm going to – who wants to go first? I don't want to throw new people under the bus, and I'm not sure who wants to speak. I'll give it to
I don't mind going first because I kind of need some clarification on what the contract is and what the city's looking for in the contract. You said $50,000. Is that full support of the visitor center and everything that goes into it, and how much can somebody clarify?
Thank you. For that, Mr. Reed. So basically, this is a very, very open-ended request for proposals for visitor center services. In a nutshell, it's $50,000 up to $50,000. Should be clear about that for visitor center services. And other than that, we have not put a lot of requirements on it. We really are looking for creative, innovative solutions to visitor center services. So in that regard, some things that we've really kind of required are things that are common sense or required by law. For instance, accessibility to bathrooms, ADA access to the facility. So those things are required, but other than that, there's not much to it. We are really looking for each proposal to come in and tell us what would be an amazing way to provide visitor center services in Morro Bay.
Okay, that answers it. Thanks.
We'll go with Jack.
I'd like for us to look at continuing, maybe as a partnership with someone. I think the experience that the people working at the current visitor center have is invaluable, and if there's a way to partner with someone or just do it freestanding on our own, I definitely think we need to look at filling out the RFP and seeing where we end up.
Taylor?
My thought is go straight to the money, like how much it's going to cost us. In my head right now, I'm thinking, you know, if you're lucky, minimum of $12,000 for rent a year, I mean, then that's not even realistic, really, when you consider everything. So it's dollars for me. Can we afford to do it for $50,000 or less? And in my head, it's no.
Michelle?
So I was part of the whole reason why we wanted to have the visitor center many, many years ago when it was down on the waterfront. And for me, this is kind of a little, kind of going back and then forth and back and forth. I love to see the visitor center under the Tourism Bureau board. That's why we went through, I really have always wanted to see tourism funneled in one piece and one together. We're spewing out one message, we're marketing, we're promoting. It helps us with those call to actions, adventure passes, it does that. But I'm also on with Taylor and the money side of things. I'm very flustered with the fact that it's being cut to 50,000 because 36,000, I looked at the visitor center budget before I got here, and about $36,000 is payroll. Just payroll. That's just being open the hours that are being requested. So I'm a huge believer that if you're going to do something, you got to do it right or don't do it at all. And to see the visitor center being put in my hotel or Jack's Museum or over at the chamber office, which is, I know, some of the rumors I've heard, that really, really disappoints me, because the whole reason we put the visitor center and begged for the visitor center and fought for that visitor center and put a huge rift in the city over it, it was this everybody against everybody, and it was nasty. The reason we did that, though, was to put it in the right location for the visitors. The visitors don't care about all this damn politics. The visitors don't care about anything other than driving down the town and finding out where to eat, what to drink, and what to do. And that's what I'm so frustrated about, is the visitor has been lost in this whole shebang. The reason that location where it's at is where it needs to be. It was to combine the upper town with the downtown, and I see people disagreeing, but I don't want to see it back down on the waterfront where there's little parking and where people are already mingling amongst the town. If there needs to be a kiosk down there, that's one thing. But we need to get people uptown. We need to get people up to realize that there's more to this city than just the waterfront. And I like that location. I like the fact that it combines those two areas. So to see it be put into some corner somewhere, I'd say it's just get rid of it. Take the 50,000 city back and don't even have a visitor center. If you're going to do it right or don't do it at all. So I'm very torn on it. I don't have a problem with with us putting a little bit of money into it, but I feel like it's constantly the hoteliers putting the money forth. The TMD got passed last night. So starting July 1st, I get to tax 14% to my guests. And everybody says, oh, people don't care about the taxes. They don't care about the taxes. You know what? They may not care about the taxes, but they care about the end of the day what that costs them. They say, oh, what's your room rate? $100. Well, what's my total? They don't care about just the room rate. So it's really nice that everybody loves to jump on the hoteliers' bandwagons because we're the ones paying for it. When I read the paper last night, yeah, all these people in white shirts are happy, and that's great, but they're the vintners, they're the restaurants, they're the retailers that aren't paying for it. So if I'm charging you, somebody else, and they're getting the benefit, of course they're happy. Of course the city's happy. Sorry, Sam, I'm not just looking at you. But, you know, the city's happy because the hoteliers are paying for it. We're mapped on that slow county because of the hoteliers. And so it frustrates me. When we originally took this visitor center, it was $166,000. We've brought it down to $100,000. So to sit here now and say we've got to now put more money in the pot, you know, I'm a little flustered by it. I'm really frustrated by the situation. We're supposed to be working to create revenue. We're supposed to be working, and I get that they're tight on their money, and I understand that, and I want to help them, which is part of the frustration is the process. And I thought we were doing that exactly. I mean, we've been in existence at the Bureau for 2 years. It's not like this bureau has been sitting here for 20 years. We are new ourselves. We're also trying to get this up and running. So I'm going to be really disappointed to see if the visitor center ends up in someone else's hands other than having us. I like the partnership idea. I feel like we're going back. I feel like we're going backwards. I thought we were going forward, and in a perfect world, I'd love to absorb the money and I'd love to absorb the costs, but as a hotelier who constantly has to have the money thrown on us, I'm a little frustrated about the money side of it. And I don't know if I can see us doing it for $50,000. I have no problem throwing Brent's budget, throwing his time in there. I think that's worth it. He's got his time. We're getting staff. But for us to have to actually pull cash out of our budget to see that bureau run, I'm not sure if I could go for that. So sorry, that's my rant.
Hey, thanks for that, Michelle. Roger.
That's a tough act to follow. I have to agree with Taylor. I think it's a bottom line situation where it does need to come out of our pocket, so to speak, out of our budgets. We're doing as much as we can now to drive additional business. Perhaps some additional partnerships within the city to help out and provide additional funding on that. As you say, everybody always goes to the hoteliers because that's the easy pocket to hit. We need to reach out to some of the other businesses in town and say, hey, if you want to be part of this, if you want it, it needs to be supported. Not just, you do it with your dime.
So...
for not being up here too long, I don't want to talk too much, but I don't think my position could be echoed any more than what Michelle said. So, I mean, if I were to look at this, I would see that the funding went from what you said of 166 and is now down to 50. I think we should have every expectation that the 50 will be gone at some point, and we need to figure out another way to do it. I don't know if there's options, and I don't even know if I would support them if there were for revenue streams in there or anything else, but if the visitor center is going to survive, it can't survive on 50. That's one of the reasons I asked for clarification on the 50, because I could not imagine that was the entire number coming in. That just can't be all that's in there for funding. So if that's the case, then we need to decide whether or not all the money that or whatever money we have goes in to support that, and it should be decided that we're just, okay, we need a visitor center, so we're going to do it as a board, because it seems to me that the writing's on the wall that that's probably where we're going. So
we're in discussion, so Jack, did you want to add something before I follow up?
Just real quick, I think Michelle and Roger both made great points about most businesses in town, lots of businesses in town, getting the benefits of a visitor center. And I think it's time they pay their share. As a business owner myself that relies on people coming to town, going to the visitor center and being told interesting things to do, I would have no problem paying a fee to have the visitor center.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. So here's my thoughts. In 2012, in 2011, well, going back for 20 years, the visitor center was housed with another entity here in town. While they did a fine job of it, as tourism progressed and changed, some of those changes weren't enveloped into the management practices of the center. As the TBID came in and marketing of our destination drastically changed, it became clear to folks that we needed to have a more progressive management style in the management of the contract. So a study was done. A study was done about location. A business survey was done about location. Where did the businesses in town think that the best location would be for the visitor center? North Morro Bay at Highway 41 was a selection. North Morro Bay, down by Zanzibar, by Stollmeyer Lighting. That was an area that was on there because folks said, no, we need it at North Morro Bay because most people come down Highway 1. Other folks thought everybody came in off 41. Other folks thought it needed to be at the roundabout by Morro Bay Coffee Company or U-Haul. Some folks thought that it needed to be on the boulevard by the theater. Other folks thought it needed to be in the Rock parking lot. So narrow the funnel, and we come down to what we really need is a link in our community between downtown and the Embarcadero. It needs to at least have 4 dedicated parking spaces for visitors, not just for staff. It needs to be able to have a nice walk-up approach, curb appeal, and signage where we can announce what the next events are going to be. It needs to have an outside kiosk where folks can look at things or call businesses when the visitor center is closed. We also have that. Perhaps it could have an interactive working, which, you know, we attempted to do with a contractor, and I have to admit, I haven't been down to the visitor center this month. It's still there. I'm getting a head shake from staff that it is still there. And at 2 a.m., if you pull up, you can still see. It's inside now. Okay. Interactive is inside. The point is, we tried to meet every standard that this business community wanted. And change, while I understand that the visitor center contract is lapsed in 2013, the language in the visitor center contract did say, I believe, that it would go month to month thereafter. It's my understanding that when the City Council approved it last year, the management of the Visitor Center, and we did at that time with a previous city manager, I believe, asked for a new contract, and it was, don't worry about it, the City Council approved it, and you just continue on. So that there's nothing in writing, you know, I'm not sure where that ball dropped. But change just for the sake of change, because suddenly it's open for RFP, is not necessarily good. Because I can tell you that while we did not have staff, and Michelle and I were largely in charge of the development of that visitor center, now I'm talking about construction-wise, once a press release went out about the change, and it was, you know, 2 months getting that thing up and running, getting handicap ramps put in, all of the expense to, you know, fix the parking lot, get lighting in so people wouldn't trip and fall, all of that. We were out there. There were folks up to 2 months coming up because it had already been out on Google. Google had picked up that was the location of the visitor center, and it wasn't open. So that location is out there on, you know, everywhere in cyberspace. Can we redirect all that? You bet. Does it take time? Sure. Who's affected by that? Certainly not the empty building. It's definitely going to be the visitor. When they walk up and it says, visitor center is closed, relocated, get back in your car, go find it. I just, you know, welcome to Morro Bay. So that's one thing that I have to say. The other thing is, could we solve the issue with the waterfront? Absolutely. We could solve it with a kiosk. You don't necessarily need to have a person down on the Embarcadero guiding. You could have a kiosk, a secondary kiosk down there, even an interactive kiosk that would solve the issue of, you know, no visitor center on the waterfront. The waterfront is where all the people are. I have to tell you that our visitor center now is busier, is posting higher visitor numbers than the visitor center was on the waterfront, and that's probably due to parking. You can even pull an RV in there. I've seen them. Actually, one hit the building once. and then the only other place that's busier would be the Rock. But you can't put a visitor center at the Rock because we have Measure D and nothing can go past basically the kite shop new that's not fishing serving. So Measure D precludes you from having a visitor center anywhere north of Beach Street on the water side. The RFP is, to me, it falls short in the area of what is going to be fulfilled inside of the visitor center. If taxpayer funding at $50,000 or even 50 cents is going into that. It's going to be very difficult to charge because every business pays tax except for service businesses and possibly museums. So once the taxpayer money goes into it, the visitor center has to carry any business that wants to walk through the door that pays tax. And that because it's publicly funded. Would a hotel want to put it in there? You know, Michelle, go ahead, go for it, and then I'll put all my hotel literature with a big poster of my hotel inside your lobby, right? Would the kayak guy want to go? I mean, it's very, you got to be careful what you're doing too, which is why a freestanding, not nested works best, especially if you're going to have an organization that charges membership fees, because that's where we were before. There was a lot of upcry about, oh, my literature isn't being, we're not able to put, I'll use my hotel, this is not true, I was always a member, but there were folks who said, my business is not being carried down there, I have asked for it to be carried down there, but because that's a membership-based organization, they won't put my literature out, they'll only put their membership organization literature out. Has that changed? Possibly. I don't know, but I'm saying that's an issue for any membership-based organization. They will have to carry people who organizations that are not their members, and that's not reflected in the RFP. So that there might need to be an adjustment that goes out so that people are notified about that. And what I have to say now might not be popular, but I feel like we are changing just for the sake of change. $100,000 is not very much. The RFP hits $50,000, and I want to hit on Jack's notation, or Taylor's notation, rather, about being fiscally responsible. The RFP is $50,000 for 3 years, if I understand it correctly, up to 3 years of management. Minimum wage is going to jump over the next 3 years. Right now, for wages for that visitor center, it's about $36,000 a year. If minimum wage goes up, those wages will go up too. When minimum wage goes up, electricity will go up, the sewer and water bills are going up, and insurance, workman's compensation, everything else will go up too. I'm not sure that $50,000 is enough just to get the staff done over the next 3 years. So I want this board to realize that and be very careful. And I see Sam would like to speak to something.
I don't believe this detracts from what you said. I think what you said is still accurate in terms of costs and minimum wage and all that. But the RFP does call for either it calls for the person making the proposal to suggest a 1 or 2 year time frame for the services.
So, okay.
But I don't think that changes your comment. I just want to make sure that for anyone that might be listening that
it's not 3 years.
Correct.
It's one to two.
Okay. Yeah.
Great, thank you for that. So, those are my main comments. I think that that downtown corridor is a terrific location. I'd like to see something at least down there. I don't want to see it off the beaten path if it exists at all in the future. And Taylor has something to say.
Yeah, for me, it's always money. And in my head, the hoteliers are. I know it's not a tax, but in my head it's a tax, assessment tax. So they're getting this assessment, and that money, a portion of it comes to us to do with, but a large portion of it goes to the city, and that money, in my head, is coming from the hoteliers, and the city is using it for certain things. And in my head, this $50,000 or $100,000 is technically money that we've already put into them. So it's our money. You want us to pay for it twice. So in my head, I'm going back to the money thing here. The TBID or this assessment that we use brings in an incredible amount of money. You're talking about millions of dollars. And so you're asking us to save $50,000 of city money, but actually it's our money, and then come up with a new plan when we've already come up with this perfect plan with all of this research and all of this time to save you $50,000. Well, our time is worth so much because look how much money we're already bringing in. So, in my playbook, how I play this, well, if you want a new idea, go ahead and come up with a new idea. Use your RFP and come up with a new idea, and when that doesn't work out, come back to us and use this current model that we've already spent a bunch of money on that's working out great. And so I say call their bluff and just let it ride.
Taylor, I enjoy having you on this board because, you know, you nailed it. You've got it. I think that's exactly my frustration is we have been down this road. This board has done surveys, and we spent so much money on bringing everybody into a room and talking to everybody about what they want about a visitor center. Where do they see that? I mean, we have spent so much time and research and money already on this exact thing that it's like I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. It's like we're back here again. So I kind of am. I'm with you. I totally agree.
Lastly, I would like to say, Taylor, you're totally right. I received an email this morning when I got up at 5 o'clock. I went down to check my emails. Somebody was saying, you know, the guest doesn't look at taxes. So I opened up my email this morning. It says, hello. I stayed at your hotel 2 weeks ago, and I've received my visa bill. I booked my room through Expedia, and I was told that my room would be, for multiple nights stay, I want to be clear, that my room would be $257. I received a bill for $325. Surely your city taxes are not that high. Can you clarify? Thank you. So I just want to be clear. The visitor center is already paid for by those folks. By that guy right there. Yep. Thank you, Taylor. So, the question is, now that we've all got that off our chest, do we want to go for a $50,000 RFP? And I'm going to ask staff, with a $50,000 RFP, if we were to stay in the current location and subsidize the city's visitor center, because the visitor center belongs to the city, hence the RFP, we are just a management contract for them. We do not charge them a management fee at all, right? So there's no management administration fee. We charge an administration fee.
$16,000. $16,000 is charged back.
So your wages are charged back. So
that is correct.
If we absorbed the management fee, it would be $16,000. That would get us to $66,000. Correct?
Correct.
What kind of visitor center, in your mind, could we run for $66,000? Could we run that operation and cut it and be leaner? Would even cutting the hours of operation, because we're open 8 hours right now, correct?
That is correct. We're open 9 to 5 Monday through Sunday, only closed 3 days of the year.
Okay, so Monday through Sunday, closed 3 days of the year. They're asking for a visitor center to be open 7 to 9 hours. If we opened 7 hours a day, I'm asking you, in your professional opinion, to give us an idea of what we might be able to do for $66,000.
I think, obviously you can definitely shave off some hours and do 7 hours a day and go from 10 to 5 Monday through Sunday. It has been suggested with some other organizations where they would have different weekend hours. I always feel like it comes down to the visitor, just like Michelle had stated before. Don't want to have confusion, etc. I think it could be doable. However, there is a variable. We are coming up on negotiating a lease if we do that. There's no guarantee that the owner of the property will actually remain having our lease at the same amount as it is currently. We pay $850 a month for rent, but there's no guarantee that that will actually remain. No discussion has actually been furthered with the leasing contact that we have. She's very pleased with how we've been able to keep up with property, but she knows that it's actually in a prime area. So it's very difficult for me to answer that question because there are so many different variables, especially with that specific location. If we were to move the location and put it under the bureau roof, it could be possible. Our bureau office is not the most ideal location. there isn't, I mean, there is some parking available. We could redirect signs, et cetera. We do have the space. Again, it's not ideal because I have sat in that visitor center. I've watched where visitors are coming from. They don't just drive up to the center, but they walk to the center. And we have to remember, it does boil down to, we can talk about the money, we can talk about a lot of things, but ultimately, it has to be about the customer experience. That's where it boils down to. To me, one of my biggest concerns that I didn't really see in the RFP, it talks about today, but it doesn't talk about in the future. We are going to see a huge influx of international travelers coming into Morro Bay. We are a tail between two gateway cities. We're going to see an increase in the number of Chinese visitors coming to the area. We're already seeing a huge influx from UK, Ireland, but we're also going to see a huge influx of travelers coming from Mexico and Brazil. And with not having the funding, we would have to be able to invest into training staff to be able to speak in different languages with visitors coming in. That's where we have to look at. We can't just look at today. We have to look at what it's going to look like in the future. So that's probably my biggest concern. Could we do it for 50,000? The answer is very difficult to say yes without compromising some of the services that we're already doing.
Okay, so if it were to be moved to the Shasta location, the city has realigned parking in other areas to provide for a 20-minute loading and unloading zone, such as in front of the Estero Inn, in front of the movie theater, limited parking. We could, you know, put that in the RFP that we would have to work with our partner, the city, to get something like that done so that that space right there in front of the Tourism Bureau could be dedicated to visitor-serving parking. But, I, you know, that's if we wanted to nest. But I want to hear from the board. I'm not sure what they want to do.
I do want to say that there has been a business, and I do have to keep the business anonymous, has talked to me about possibly donating space, but it is a business along the Embarcadero where parking is a little bit more limited, obviously. But it's also an opportunity to do a public-private partnership as well.
When you say parking is limited, is parking within 100 feet where maybe parking could be realigned and dedicated like that?
I think it would be very difficult to do that because okay. Parking in that general area, it's a very busy retail area. Okay. And, I mean, there is parking available. I mean, I have not had a challenge in finding parking going down there, but we also have to remember it's I know the area. Visitors don't specifically always know the area. And there are a lot of visitors that come off of Morro Bay Boulevard. They drive down, they get to the visitor center, they get the information that they need, and then they go exploring. But again, we also have about 50-50. It's 50 drive-in and we have 50 walk-ins. So it's walking to the actual center itself. So, I mean, I love the location. I do agree with having the link between the Embarcadero and downtown. I would hate to see, because we have done a lot of marketing and that location's out there. I mean, it's in printed material. It's online. It's definitely out there, so...
Well, I see us kind of getting off a little bit of track because the fact of the, and I don't have any experience here, but let's kind of clarify here. This is not our business. We don't own it and we manage it. So what we need to do is we need to come up with a number that says responsibly, we feel like we can manage it for this. If the city can find somebody to do it cheaper and better, go do it. But I don't want it to be where we're called, like Taylor said, calling someone's bluff. I don't necessarily think that that's, I mean, I understand the frustration, and I don't have it because I haven't been here for a long time, but I think all we need to do is come up with a number that we feel like we could responsibly manage it for. And whatever that number is, if it's 166 or whatever, if the city wants to talk to us later about saying, okay, can you partner with us to help fund it, then that could be a conversation for future times. But if the city's got it in that location, that's a good location. We're supportive of that. If they feel like they need to move it to save money, that's their decision. It's their business. But it seems to me like we're getting into a whole lot of the stuff where what we really need to do is just tie it down and say, we can manage it for X. If you guys need us to partner with you, we can talk about that at a future time. But I don't want to, I hate the idea of saying, well, how can we kind of manage it and maybe we can partially fund it? Look, if we're putting money into it, then we deserve to get credit for that and we deserve to be part of the responsibility in that. And there shouldn't be gray areas in this. The business costs X and the city's going to pay 100% or 66% or whatever it is. We need to be fair in that, and we also need to make sure it's run responsibly because our name's on the management contract. And what can we do it for responsibly, not cutting every little corner? I mean, the travelers that come to this town have a reasonable expectation of a good level of service in there that is not cutting every little corner and the carpet's coming up here and there and we don't have time to vacuum or whatever. That doesn't represent us good. So that's my 2 cents.
I do see a member in the audience who, and I do have to open up for public comment now that we have a general member of the audience, because we're supposed to open for each thing. So public comment, if you're a member of the audience and you wish to speak to this, please step forward. If not, thank you. And hi there.
Hi.
It's actually two public
right.
audience.
Sorry,
I don't know if AGP can get that.
Hi, my name is Jane Beeman, and I'm the owner of the Bayfront Inn in Morro Bay, 16-unit motel on the Embarcadero. First of all, I want to thank you for volunteering to be the stewards of the T-Bid funds contributed solely by the hoteliers. We are your sole stakeholders. Let the visitor center go. The visitor center staff has told me that 85% of the time, the tourist who visits the center already has a place to stay. Its current operating hours most days best serve the retail, recreation, and restaurant businesses. Its operation and management takes tourism board man hours, which equates to money and time. The money and time would better serve the stakeholders if spent on action marketing to direct visitors to stay in Morro Bay overnight. Lodging establishments are already your mini visitor center. Do not accept further general funds to sustain the visitors center. Be independent. Allow those businesses that would most benefit from having a visitor center pay for it and management. I implore this board to serve its stakeholders. We have small and large lodging establishments, and we all need your attention. Every time an agenda item calls for a vote, it is your obligation to vote on behalf of the stakeholders. Your vote can't be just about you. Please do some outreach and talk to other hoteliers. It would be very beneficial for you to understand and also see the other lodging places. And also it would be very beneficial for us because you do represent us, not just yourselves, when you sit there. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. And Co. Okay. So back to it. We have to decide whether we're going to go for the RFP. One thing that I would ask the city, and Sam, you're sitting here, we have had people who are interested in the RFP walk into the visitor center and approach staff and start asking questions about how much money they make. It's totally inappropriate. What the budget is, can you tell me how much you spend on printing? It's very inappropriate, and I wish we had worked with the city to get the RFP out because we could have put some things in their language that would have restricted their ability to walk in there and kind of question staff. So maybe for those folks who we put that out to, if we can just put a notice out asking whoever we put that out to not to approach the current staff at the contracted visitor center, that would be really nice because it nerve wracks them, it's putting them under stress, and they are our employees, and we just don't need that to come back and bite us as a contract ends. So that would be appreciated. Excuse me?
They can actually contact me. I'm happy to share any numbers, et cetera, with anybody who would be filling out the RFP.
Yeah, as long as they're just not in the visitor center asking the staff. While there's visitors in there, it's totally inappropriate. moving on, what do you guys want to do? I'm going to look right and left. I want to hear from you. I'm willing to do whatever you want to do. I'm with you. And, you know, we've heard from a member of our stakeholders. So, actually, let's take a row. Let's go in the row.
I don't even know where to start on this one. I mean, it's such a difficult decision to... I don't want to see the visitor center go away in its present format. I think it was Fred that said there's a level of expectation, and we need to keep that level, and how we do that, I'm not sure.
I feel that I have faith in our council and in our city staff, and I think if this is the direction they want to go in, I want to allow them to go in that direction. And I don't think that we, personally, I don't want to vote for applying for the RFP at this current time. I want them to go forward with their initiative and see what happens and have it bring it back to us when they need our help.
Michelle?
I like Fred's approach, and I agree. I think there's a level expectation. I still feel like the visitor's getting missed on this whole thing. I think, great. I get where Taylor's coming from, but what happens in the interim? The visitors, one day it's here, and then in 3 months when it fails, they're back here, and we'll have lost the lease probably at that point. And, you know, it's just the process of this is frustrating, because if this process would have started 6 months ago with a true partner, and our partner would have sat at the table and we could have tried to hash this out and figure it all out, we could have maybe worked it out to not be where we are now. So I don't want to see any... I think I like Fred's approach, where we come up, we work with Brent. It's going to... You know, I don't have a problem. I'm a little torn. Brent's time is valuable. I would absorb Brent's time, but that's about it. So I kind of like the approach of approaching the city. This is the amount of money we can do it for. Fine. If you can do it for less, that's fine.
Less and better.
Nobody's going to be able to do it for less and better. I mean, come on.
Less or equal.
Yeah.
Less or equal.
And in approaching them, I mean, I just don't see it for $50,000 with this board. I just don't see it. The money's not there. So I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. I kind of agree along those lines. I think, from a management standpoint, we need to tell the city what it costs to manage it. And if they can... As much as we want to say less and better, less and the same, it's still not our business. It affects our business. We need to keep the focus on our business, like our guest said, and do our stuff. We all want to have a visitor center down there, but we're hotel and hospitality. So I think it's great that we come out and we say we're willing to contribute to the management and oversee and offer advice, but it's their visitor center. So we need to tell them what we can run it for, and if they can find somebody better, then by all means, and we need to focus on our hotel stuff. So.
Roger? Roger.
You know, it's like we've been running for 2 years without a contract, and now all of a sudden it's hurry-up, catch-up time. We have to do this, and it has to be done ASAP. And in any business that I've ever been involved with, when you make hurry-up decisions, they're not always the best decisions. I agree with Fred, is that if you're going to do it right. Jack, I hear what you're saying. It's something that the city needs. We need to present that to our visitors to the city. I think we go back to the city. It's an RFP. I'd be in favor of submitting an RFP, but not based on $50,000, based on what level of service needs to be there, and that needs to be at this level. If you want to accept it, fine. If you don't, accept something else.
So,
I just want to throw in one more thing. I think we can be open to revisit the idea of partnership with the city in this, but that's a separate decision outside of this RFP. We seem to kind of take the attitude that, well, they're going to give us $50,000 and we're going to cover the rest, but that's not the deal. It's a management contract. So if we come up with a fee that says this is what it costs to run, if the city wants to come back and say partner with us, that's something I'd be willing to sit and discuss at least and decide whether or not it benefited us to do that. But it seems to me right now that what we're talking about is what it takes to run the visitor center correctly. And to me, that's, you know, just a number. So, but.
Yep, Michelle.
One real quick thing, too. I think, and I get along with that partner management, you know, Jack said, oh, I wouldn't mind paying, you know, some restaurants, some retailers. And that's why I feel like if there had been a little more time with this, there could be some discussion to figure out some other partners. You know, for five years I've been saying everybody in the city of Morro Bay that has a business should pay into tourism. Why does that keep getting missed for 5 years? I don't understand. Sam, you're here. Write that down. We are a tourism business. We are a tourism-based city. Why are the hoteliers the only ones constantly paying? Let's go out and get restaurants, retailers, and shops to start contributing. Then we could then manage that partnership with the city a little bit more openly.
So I have a few questions, and one is for Sam. Is it legal that we need to understand whether it's legal to charge a fee to be in the visitor center for accepting taxpayer money for a contract? And that needs to be clarified probably in the RFP.
I apologize. Are you speaking to your previous statement related to if someone wants to participate by having their items in the visitor center if they need to
pay
that? That actually is an ongoing discussion for us, too. We're curious about how it's done elsewhere. And I think actually we had that very discussion with Brent recently. There are other places that charge fees to have their items in the visitor center. There are places where it's just come one, come all. But right now we are aware that there are other places where they are selective in what they allow inside the visitor center, even when they are taxpayer funded.
And that's legal.
I cannot say that if whether it's legal.
That's the question I have. The answer, I need to know that.
The answer for me is I can't say if it's legal in California because the discussion we had is based on Brent's experience in other states.
Okay.
So we're still looking into it.
Okay. So if we could have that clarified for us at some point, that would be really terrific.
Sure.
Because that would help to offset funds. Thank you for that. And I hear Jane loud and clear with her comment about we are the only ones paying in. Pay attention to your stakeholders. Jane, you are not the first person that I have heard that from. I have seen every hotel in this land of ours, this Morro Bay land, and you know we have some beautiful properties out there, and we have some really terrific hoteliers who are doing a great job, but none of them would say to a guest, you come in for $5 and I will subsidize the rest and I'll still run my business at the top level that I can run my business at and provide you with a terrific service, which is what I think this board is saying we feel like we're being asked with the RFP. I do want to make note that at $50,000, the city's contribution of just TOT to this date through the April TOT report would be 2.5% of TOT. To a visitor center. 2.5% of all of the hotel revenue, which only 15% of the people, according to Jane, who walk through the door, are people who want hotels, but 2.5% of the revenue. That does not include all of the revenue generated by tourism at gas stations, at restaurants, at museums. So the revenue percentage of support for the visitor center from the city seems like a very arbitrary number because it does not include the actual level of support to the city's general fund from tourism was not taken into consideration when the arbitrary number of $50,000 was selected. What was looked at was we are paying $100,000, we're paying $100,000, we're paying $100,000, not tourism has been the only revenue stream in the last 5 years that has jumped six figures to the general fund. Six figures. It's jumped in six-figure percentages to the general fund. And that's the actual figures were not looked at in terms of support to provide the level of service that we're providing. What I'm hearing from the board is that they'd like to see Brent answer an RFP on our behalf, answer it with our highest hospitality, our biggest open arms, and our best level of service that we can provide, putting the number to that level, and providing that to the city based off of our level of expectation of high hospitality service. Is that what I'm hearing from this board? Is that what I'm hearing?
I just feel like, why wouldn't that be the current model? Isn't that what we're already doing? So don't we already have that answer? I mean, what if we could do it for cheaper, why aren't we doing it for cheaper? Because right from my point of view, if we're trying to provide the best service for this contract that we have, isn't that what we're currently doing? So isn't the answer already in front of us? So why are we wasting our time?
I think the only difference would be is if the board decided to absorb his salary, the fees. I think that's the only thing that I could see that could be shaved off of this would be the $16,000 of Brent's managing his time of that. I think for me, that's when I looked at the budget, because I looked at the visitor center budget very closely and said, what could we cut? And the only thing I really see is Brent's time, or like he said, cutting the hours down a little bit. But I don't want to give less service to the customer. If we're going to do it, you do it, or you don't do it at all. So I do think that's the only thing I could see adjusted, Taylor, off of the current budget. Unless, correct me if I'm wrong, Brent, there's something else in there. But I didn't see a lot of wiggle room in there. I thought it was pretty lean for what was in there. There's already a lot of stuff we're paying for that's in the visitor center. A lot of the collateral and fulfillment. If you remember back in the day, we used to pay the old leaseholder $1,600 a month just to fulfill things.
Plus, they got $166 for the visitor center.
Plus, and that was when they were getting $166,000. So that's what's so frustrating, too, is CPC. There used to be CPC funds and visitor center funds. So, you know, now they're just dwindling the tourism dollar down. So, I mean, that's the only adjustment I could see in the budget, though. That's where I think we
Other
could make
nesting.
Some change.
Other than nesting. Nesting, it would cut the rent and the electricity.
You're cutting the service.
You're cutting the service.
Location, location, location. We talk about that all the time.
Okay, so I need a motion from this board to move forward. We've spent enough time on this. I think we're all pretty clear on where we're at. I understand Taylor's point. Believe me, Taylor. You're saying, look, we're providing a level of service. They want to go out for RFP. They say in their letter to us that we're doing a good job. We're just going to go back to them and say, yep, we're doing a good job, and this is where we're at, and this is the only thing that, you know, we can cut or we can absorb, whatever word you want to use, to provide that level of service. And Brent staff is giving me, can you help me out and let me speak? Yeah, go ahead.
But we also need to give 60 days notice to the current owner of the building.
And when does the RFP close?
RFP closes June 26th.
RFP closes June 26th. 60-day notice would be, oh boy, right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's 30 days notice, isn't it? No, August 1st is. And when is the decision going to be made on whoever applies for the RFP?
Notification will occur by, I believe, July 7th to the folks that are selected, and this council will approve it at the July 14th meeting.
They will approve whoever gets the contract at the July 14th
meeting. That is the current schedule.
That's the current schedule.
Correct.
Brent, your thoughts? Okay. Fred, your thoughts?
I also wanted to clarify, because I not having as much knowledge as the rest of the people on the board, is there any overlapping of expenses or anything like that? Or do we have, I mean, are we currently running the visitor center for the $50,000 a year? I mean, is that even realistic, and are we currently doing it?
The visitor center actually serves as a standalone. The only services that are, what I would say are combined, would be the professional services that we use for our accountant. you know, obviously with the accounts payable, that's essentially that. Any staff that's actually over at the visitor center, those are visitor center hours. If Sharon actually is both visitor center as well as bureau, but that's actually separate. That comes out of bureau funds. Anything that the visitor center does in conjunction with bureau-related activities gets charged to the bureau. Anything that's related to the visitor center is charged to the visitor center. We do our utmost best on keeping that separate because obviously receiving funds from the city, we want to keep that separate. We want to make sure that we're very accurate as far as like the expenses and the activities that are actually happening at the center itself.
You weren't here, but Taylor, you might remember, and Jack, you might remember that some of the some of the vocal outreach that was done from the community when the visitor center was housed with the previous contractor was it wasn't a standalone business. It was nested inside of a membership organization, and the outcry and vocal from the community, not just the business community, but from residents, was that that process was muddied because three staff members would be working, or six staff members would be working every day. One of them would be greeting guests, and 20% or 30% of each staff member was charged back to the visitor center. And you know, the solution to that was it needs to be a standalone, live inside of its own bubble. Right, its own, encapsulated on its own. So that's where that came from, and that's why it's managed the way it is. So what are we going to do, folks? Come on.
And just to clarify, are you currently operating within that budget lines of $50,000? You're currently able to operate for $50,000 a year?
$100,000. We receive $100,000 from the city, and yes, we're able to. Last year we were just slightly under 100,000. This year will be slightly under 100,000. But if we have to move, I mean, if we have to do a closing down of the visitor center, it's going to be pretty close.
And currently the contract is changing to a month to month at $75,000 a year going forward. And you have
no. We're month to month at $6,250 per month until the end of the lease.
And have you been operating under the $6,250 budget yet?
No, $8,333 per month.
So our current level of service under current contract or under current deal will have to go down in order to just sustain, or funds will have to come from here. So maintaining requires at least 100, right? Or maintaining requires at least somewhere between 75 and 100.
Correct.
Okay. I just need a clarification because if what we were offering was $50,000 worth of service, then I think we'd be at one place, but we're not. Currently, we're offering somewhere around $85,000 and should necessarily expect that number to get to 125 with raises in rent and staffing numbers. So that I'm just helping myself clarify, so thanks.
Okay, so I need a consensus before we get a motion here, a consensus from the board on whether we'd like Brent to respond to the RFP at current levels of service with absorption of executive director staff time from bid funds. Go ahead, Sam. No? Okay. Looked like you were jumping up. Is there a consensus consensus regarding that? I mean, we could even throw in there that we'll put a kiosk up down by the Embarcadero or the Rock or something. Actually, the Rock would be great, but I don't think we can do that, but maybe the Embarcadero. Let's not put the kiosk in there. Brent's like, please, not right now. 50 grand kiosk, right?
I think we have to focus on the RFP at hand. Mm-hmm. Kiosk is this whole separate conversation.
Okay, kiosk. So RFP at hand. Anyone want to go for it?
I feel like the RFP at hand is asking for $50,000 less, and we can't provide that. So why are we continuing this conversation?
I think you can submit the RFP, and I may be wrong, but you could submit an RFP that is requesting, if you can do it for this, we submit and say we can continue what we are doing, which has been very successful, which you know of, but the cost needs to be this. And I'd be in favor of doing that.
Counteroffer.
I think we've gone down this road about as far as really reasonable. Yeah. We're in the hotel business, and this honestly doesn't support our hotel business. We can't offer anything to the RFP because the request for proposal is in the $50,000 range.
Right.
They know what it costs us to run it. They know what we're doing. We don't need to tell them what they already know. We're operating the thing right now, and we probably, arguably, shouldn't be. So, thanks.
I agree with that completely. I think the only thing, knowing this council, is we should let them know that we would like the visitor center. I think they feel like we don't want it. I know that was a conversation that had been had at one point. There was talk of that maybe we just didn't really want it. So maybe we do not submit for the $50,000, kind of submit saying, well, we can do it for $85,000. This is what we would like to keep it under our wing. This is what we can do it for, but we understand you may go for somebody else at $50,000. I just think there should be some kind of letter of wanting, you know, this is the city. They're our partner, and we need to make sure that if we're ending ties, that it's on a good note.
Jack?
I think Michelle nailed it.
I'd
go with that.
Okay. So here we've gone in circle. Yeah, we need the letter.
So written. I will make a motion that we deny the $50,000 RFP and submit that we could do it for, do we all agree on $85,000? That's taking out his, oh no. And just say.
Let's go back. Let's send the city a letter, letting them know that to operate a visitor center at the current level of hospitality, that we'd like to continue the contract for $100,000, understanding some of the parameters that, you know, wages and everything are expected to increase, and that we'd be happy to renegotiate those things with them as they occur, since we are managing the hospitality center on their behalf. And let them know that we thank them for their partnership over the last 3 years, and that we feel that, and this is important, that we feel that the visitor center is in its natural home, nested with the Tourism Bureau, since it is tourism and hospitality. It is in the natural place where it belongs.
Okay, I will second that motion that she just made.
Okay. Or actually, would you move that? I'd prefer not to make a motion based on
what's going on. Right. I will make, so moved.
I'll second.
I'd like to have him read it back to me.
Sorry, Brent. I'm sorry, Brent. He asked us to be nice to him.
Taylor, you owe me chocolate. The motion is to send a letter to the city talking about that we would like to keep the same level of hospitality, continue at a contract at $100,000 with the ability to negotiate any items in the future, thank them for their partnership over the past 3 years, but also state the visitor center is under its natural home, being under the tourism umbrella.
Everyone feel happy? Okay, I've got thumbs up. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Great, motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh my gosh, that was a consent agenda. Moving on.
Sorry. Let me hold that one,
but I moved my agenda. I got to put my glasses on. Okay, we're moving on. Christmas in July request, folks. That's item number 6, Christmas in July, review the request to help support an ice skating rink for the 2015 Christmas in July promotion. And for that, drum roll, little drummer boy, let's go over to Brent.
Yes, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau has been approached by retailers that are helping with this Christmas in July promotion this year. They would like to bring in a synthetic ice rink as a part of the event to help attract people to come during 2 weeks, if it is a rental, in the month of July. Unfortunately, they do not have the funds, and so they have approached the Bureau to be able to help either support a two-week rental and or a purchase of a synthetic rink to be able to be used in the future. There is a caveat to that, that we at least see 100% cost recovery. They would help manage the staffing of and collecting fees. Again, we would look at doing a 100% cost recovery. There isn't really a lot of difference between a rental. There's about a $10,000, $12,000 difference between a rental and a purchase. When they approached me with this idea, I came back with a thought and just wanted to run this by the board, that if we decide that the Bureau is going to do a purchase, which the purchase is about $27,105, again, we would have to see a 100% cost recovery on that. We would do an agreement between the Bureau and the City of Morro Bay that we would gift it to the City and the Recreation Department for them to be able to use for other programs. Also with the agreement that we would be able to use this equipment for future events at no rental cost. Obviously that there would be a setup cost, but there wouldn't be a specific rental cost for the Bureau to be able to enhance events to help bring in overnight guests for future events.
What do you mean by setup cost?
There would be a setup cost to put the rink up, and that would be very difficult for the city to be able to eat those costs.
And
those costs would be assumed. Correct. It would be set up by city staff. So any setup costs would have to be assumed by the event itself, not specifically by the Tourism Bureau.
So, for example, I'm going to use the Kite Festival. If the Kite Festival decided to have asked to have the ice rink, then when the Kite Festival had the ice rink, they would cover the setup costs. The setup costs wouldn't be
covered. That is correct.
And permits, minor use permits, all that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. What's the setup cost? Do we know?
It really depends on if you're looking at a rental or if you're looking at an actual purchase. The setup costs are actually reflected in the rental costs at the bottom of the sheet. It ranges between $11,389 to about $14,713. And that does include a rental for 2 weeks. It includes the setup. It does not include the permit fees. That's not going to be, we're not assuming that cost. That would have to be assumed by the retailers that would like to put this on. But again, they would provide the staffing to be able to do the skate rentals and the fees that it would cost to be able to, for consumers to be able to use.
Questions for staff?
If the units are purchased and then donated to the city, does that mean the city will maintain them, do all repairs on the equipment?
That's something that we would have to talk to city administration, obviously, before. There was an initial discussion with David Buckingham as well as Sam Taylor, but we didn't have a lot of details. The city doesn't have current funds to be able to do a purchase, but it could be a really great way for partnership. I know that Recreation Department is looking at perhaps expanding, and I know Sam Taylor is now in charge of recreation. Again, my thought would be is that we are looking at ways. We did this with the Kite Festival and bringing in the carnival rides. The skating rink could be a great enhancement to some of the events to be able to expand. One thought would be, you know, could we use it for lighted boat parade? Could it be used for the Home for the Holidays, merchant street fair? Some events do not extend or expand enough for overnight stays, and so sometimes we have to think of creative ways in how we can get people to, you know, extend their stay to do an overnight stay versus just coming for the day. this could be one of the ways to be able to do that. And again, I think it's just an enhancement. This is an approach. I think that the retailers that are doing the Christmas in July, I think it's a great idea. They're trying to, I know I'm getting off on a little bit of a tangent, but they're trying to maximize the visitorship that actually comes in the month of July to be able to compensate for sometimes their low Decembers. But also, too, this research was actually done by Brian, who's one of the owners of Hooray for Hollywood. So the research that you see in front of you hasn't been done by the Bureau, but as you can see that there isn't a great cost differential. But it's really up to the board whether or not we want to be able to help support this. It is a very short period of time. There hasn't been a lot of marketing done. Obviously, we are less than a month away from, you know, the month of July, but it would... I feel it could be a really great enhancement, but I do want to get some direction from you.
Questions down on my right, my left. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes.
So growing up in the downtown Sacramento area, we had a roller rink, ice skating rink seasonally, but there was also ice skating rinks that were annual. And from my whole childhood and going to those and seeing the ones that closed and the ones that succeeded, I realized that it's a unique, specific things work with ice rinks. Now, in our county, when we did the ice skating rink at Madonna Inn, got added to the annual seasonal things that were offered. I was part of that with the Gorilla Gardening Club in the beginning. We weren't able to participate in that because of the number of hours compared to what I could provide them in a contract. Wasn't fiscally able. That model has been successful because they do it each year. My question to you, have you talked to Holly Holiday, who, as far as I know, has ran it for the last 3 years, to see how they made that one, the only one that I know of, successful?
We had a meeting with Karen Sweeney with the Recreation Department, and that was a part of the discussion that we brought back to Brian, because Brian has been doing all of the different research, you know, gathering the numbers. That was suggested. You know, unfortunately, I did ask Brian if he was able to come today. He was going to try to make it today to be able to answer any questions. Unfortunately, Taylor, I don't have, and rest of the board, I don't have that information in front of me, but I'd be happy to get that information. It was suggested to not only reach out to Holly, but also the gentleman who puts on the rink in Atascadero, because that was actually one of the rental companies. That was, I believe, I don't know if it's Easy Glide that's on the sheet of paper that's in front of you, but I know that they do a pretty successful program in Atascadero. But great idea to be able to gather that information to see, you know, to make sure that is there going to be 100% cost recovery? Will there be an opportunity to also have additional profits? One of the things, too, with this whole situation, we are also trying to help events become self-sufficient and to have the ability to where they don't have to come to organizations or always try to find sponsorships. And so anything above and beyond on profits, they would retain the profits to use for Christmas in July for the following year. So I just want to be transparent about that as well.
I've been to the ice skating rink in Atascadero, and I love the ice skating kind of rink concept. It seems like it would be the perfect thing for a downtown business improvement district to be talking about. There, I don't see any chance in the world of somebody coming down here and ice skating and deciding to get a hotel room from me. I think it's just so far gone from what, and I fully understand, Brent, that you get pulled into all this, but the fact that you took time to go investigate an ice skating rink, it just confuses me.
Fred, I didn't. It was no staff time
on
my end.
Okay.
So,
to clarify, I feel like we're off in considering a lot of things that, while they might be good for the city, have nothing to do with lodging, and that's where I'm. And I hate doing this on the first meeting that I'm here because I feel like I should have just bit my tongue the whole time. But it seems like for me, we need to be focused on, like, I get the side of you that says, well, this might tip people to stay longer, and I fully appreciate that, and that kind of ties it back. But it seems to me that by the time we get to those things that might tip people, we should be doing things that are fully directed towards lodging. And if there were a downtown, it's obviously something that somebody should support. I just don't think it falls into our category. That's my two cents.
And you never have to bite your tongue.
You don't have to bite your tongue around here. We're pretty much known for being the board that does not bite its tongue. Roger, any thoughts?
I kind of following up with what Fred just said, it seems to me also we're July being the busiest month of the year in Morro Bay, and we're trying to cram even more things into it. I'm sorry, that's our busy time. We should be looking at our shoulder months, like August through June. You know, I think that's where we need to have the extra things for people to do, something else to draw them in, something to get them to spend that extra day. But I'm just not sure that July is the time to do it. I can't build an extra 40 rooms on top of the hotel at this time.
Jack?
Well, when I first heard of this idea, I thought it was a great idea. And then all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, it's July. And it's the same, we go back to parking. We hear all the problems with parking, and now we're going to take up, from what I hear, more parking. People are already here. It kind of reminds me of us having, you know, not us, but the city, whoever puts it on, Art in the Park on July 4th, on Memorial Day. People are already here. Let's move those to other times to bring people in. I know it's kind of off topic. Taylor, or somebody brought up, or I think it was Fred, the Atascadero rink, and now there's the San Luis rink. The request is coming from retailers. My personal feeling is they should approach, I think Fred said, Business Improvement District or the Chamber. Those are my thoughts.
Brent, how many retailers do we have? Do you?
Generally, I want to say just generally. Are you talking about on the Embarcadero or just total?
Total.
I couldn't even tell you.
75.
I think it's upwards of 80 plus.
Okay, let's call it 75.
Because it depends on what you are defining as, you know, there's a lot of different retail here in Morro Bay.
Okay.
So
if we took $28,000 and we divided it by 75, it'd be $373 a retailer to basically underwrite something like this that they could use, and we could help them manage. You know, we could help them manage it, right? In terms of, you know, we could be a mechanism for purchase. We could be a mechanism for forming the contract with the city. We could be I understand the idea of expanding an event into the late afternoon and evening so that our 2.5-hour drive market does not want to go home. If they stay till 6 and then their kids are hungry and they eat dinner and they're thinking, well, we won't be leaving there till 8 o'clock anyhow, let's spend the night, I understand that. Do we need that in July? I would say, you know, we're full tilt. We're pressed to do everything that we can do, and the compression on parking is likely an issue. could this be looked at for the shoulder months? Absolutely, but I think there's more questions right now than there are answers. And some of those questions would be, what would the contract look like for maintenance, storage? I mean, is the city going to do that in, you know, perpetually for the rest of the existence? What happens if one of the pieces of thing gets warped in the sun? Does the city replace that? Or are we on the hook now for going back to the retailers and dividing $300 up amongst 75 retailers to get a replacement piece of rubber or whatever, it's silicone, to go down there? What happens when the skates wear out? what happens when somebody gets, I'm going to say this, athlete's foot from a skate? Who's on the hook for liability for that? Is that the city's? Is that ours? So, you know, is it the events? Because the city didn't, I'm pretending whoever was in charge didn't spray the boot with athletes, whatever, whether that's us or the city, who didn't maintain that. So more questions than answers right now. I don't think it's a bad concept, but perhaps we can bring it back to look at in the fall for something. If there's a program developed around it, and this would require a little bit of staff time, that could ensure that it would drive overnight stays, because we have to make the decision, as Jane said, based on what the hoteliers' needs are and balance that with what the city can handle. So that's where I'm at. Anyone want to, do we want to extend this out, or do we want to make a motion to go for it today? I'd be willing to hear a head shake from the board on consensus of what direction we want to go. You say no? You don't want this. Jack?
I'd like to extend it out maybe and revisit it for in the fall if they come up with a plan, you know, and address all the issues that have been brought up here.
Yeah, I have all kinds of questions. Is this business even something we should get into? And then I totally agree with Fred, like, how does this have to do with why I'm here? And my answer is no. This is way too short notice. I don't want to spend any more time on this.
I agree. I love the concept for a shoulder season, but July is when we're all impacted. We have an 83% occupancy rate. It's the highest in the entire year. You know, we're here to, you know, it's obvious we need to, you know, refocus on what this bureau does and really market and promote the hoteliers that are paying into this. You know, we've got a city that's turned around and told us that they're cutting our, you know, cutting out the visitor center money, but yet here we want to go gift them an ice rink. I mean, I'm not quite sure. So I love the concept. It belongs to a city type of situation with the BID there. I think overnight lodging, this is not, I'm sorry, I don't think it's going to help overnight stays. Come into an ice rink, people go there for the day and leave. I mean, I just don't see it really being focused on overnight stays. So love the concept, but definitely not for July.
Just really quickly, the one in Atascadero I think is pretty hokey, and I don't know if it really represents Morro Bay correctly. I took my daughter to it, and I couldn't spend a day ice skating because, well, I'm a big guy and my ankles aren't that strong. So it works out for an hour or two maybe, and but I also don't see how it drives our business, and I feel like the more time we spend focused on that, the less time we spend on the hoteliers in this town. And so if they were to come back with a real clear definition of exactly what our responsibilities, liabilities, and everything like that, and it entailed, and it was just a loan that we were going to, you know, make all the money back on, I'd probably be willing to hear it again. But we've gotten down into this managing of an ice skating business that I think is just so far from where our focus should be. So, thanks.
It's a great idea for private business, but I don't think it's anything that we need to subsidize.
I feel like we have consensus here. I'm not going to say anything. They've said everything that I think. So, Brent, it looks like if there's going to be a partnership, it's going to have to probably be between retail and the city. We can assist with that by being the conduit. But maybe talk to the folks on both sides of that. You know, it looks like this might be naturally housed in the recreation department in Morro Bay and then rented back to the retailers somehow. I know they don't have the budget for that right now, but it looks like we have consensus from the board on this. But go ahead.
Thank you, Chairwoman Solu. I just want to clarify from the city's perspective, this is not an initiative of the city of Morro Bay at all, 100%. This actually came to us from Brent. And I really think that what the request was in terms of the city was storage of it more than anything else. So, you know, were it to come back in the future, we're happy to listen. And I think obviously recreation is a good spot for it, but obviously it also would require coordination with facilities, which is no longer housed within recreation in the city of Morro Bay. So it would be incumbent on me to work with Public Works should this come back in the future from this organization or the retailer. So thank you.
So more questions than there are answers, especially now that Sam has stepped up. That's even more like they'll house it, they'll store it, but what happens if during the storage and transport and everything? So lots of questions. If you go back and speak with the retailers about what they're thinking regarding that, and they still want to move forward, you can bring it back to us. But at this point, I think, you know, Fred had an arm up in the air trying to put a brake on it, and I think we're all lifting our hands and putting a brake on it. So we will move on with that, and no action taken, okay? And it'll just come back to us in terms of a report in the future. Let's see. We have hit the declaration of future agenda items. A, the 2016-2017 event funding. B, future amusement ride sponsorship. C, good standing policy. Are there any other things that any members of the board would like to see added to that list?
Maybe just an update on the visitor center.
Okay, and I'd like to see us schedule a board retreat so we can do some strategic planning, and I know Brent has that on his burners, but that's something that we need to do is bring that onto an agenda so we can actually publicly schedule a board retreat for strategic planning and a five-year forecast. Any others? Okay. And so I will move on to board announcements, and I'd like to congratulate Michelle on having a kindergartner graduate today. She's made it through kindergarten again, and you have a kindergartner graduating today from Del Mar?
Yesterday.
Oh, Taylor, how sweet. Well, congratulations, Dad. Another girl, of course. And yours graduated last week. Look at this board full of young families. I love this. I also have a son graduating today from Morro Bay High School. Young guy starting out on his life. He's the tallest kid at the school. Well, he's not the tallest at the school, but he's darn near it. So I'd just like to say congratulations to all the parents who are celebrating their children. A big, huge welcome to all of the parents and family members who are coming into town for their graduates, including Morro Bay High School, San Luis Obispo High School, all of the grade schools, Cal Poly, and Cuesta this week. We are grateful to you for selecting Morro Bay, and we welcome you with open arms. Residents, thank you for tolerating this opening to the tourism season, and we appreciate you helping us with hospitality because it's important that we're all in the hospitality bucket together here in Morro Bay, and it's a good thing. So have a safe graduation, and I don't have any other board announcements, and in case anyone else does, I'll turn.
A couple things real quick. I'm getting closer to getting the pedicab running, just finalizing some insurance details. And then secondly, we're very close to finalizing to host the World Skater Cross Championships in Morro Bay October 10th and 11th. So but within a couple of weeks, we should know for sure.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I know it's been a feat for you. That's terrific. That's a perfect timing, right? October. So that is it for board announcements. And I'd look for a motion to adjourn. Get us out of here.
Does Fred have an announcement?
Does Fred have an announcement? Oh, yes. Anything about any kind of opening, Fred? Can you tell us about that?
We have reopened our renovated lobby, and we are in the process of opening our bar and restaurant, so that will be very soon. And everybody should come out and see it. It's a spectacular lobby with just incredible views. So.
And I'm sorry, where is that?
At the Inn in Morro Bay.
And what is the name of your new restaurant?
60 State Park.
And who is your chef?
Chef is Steve Smeets.
And where does he hail from?
He is the executive chef at the Apple Farm. Well, he still is. He's only on part-time with us right now. He'll be full-time. He needed to give a month's notice, which...
And do you have sales and catering for local events?
We sure do. Mm-hmm. We can have meeting space for up to at least 100, so...
Terrific. Yeah. And, again, when does that open up?
I'm not exactly sure. It's going to be about 2 weeks.
And you have some terrific trails right next to it, so folks can walk right down to the hotel, right?
Absolutely, and they're being rebuilt right now by the CCC. So.
Well, we appreciate everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We wish you the best success. All right, so now that you've had your interview, I look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Excuse me, 4 minutes to 10.